This is The Accidental Roommates AU, Part 2, Star Wars Rebels concept fic, written by Bethlehem Spart and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Hera Syndulla, Kanan Jarrus, with additional tags for Alternate Universe, Canon Divergence, Alternate Universe, Imperial AU, ISB Cadet Hera Syndulla, Inquisitor Trainee, Kanan Jarrus, Discussion of Past Attempted Sexual Assault. Mission Fic. Reunion. Happy Ending. Author's Notes. Here's the second part of The Accidental Roommates AU. This is one of those times when I say second in terms of when I wrote it, not in terms of internal chronology, because there are probably 2 or 3 months between this part and the previous part. As usual, please remember that this is concept writing and not a titled polished fic. Also, I'd okay if the timeline with Solo matches up, but that's why it's concept writing, so I don't have to do math. Hera, I am very disappointed in you. Hera did her best not to flinch at the words, sitting with her back poker straight and her hands folded in her lap. When Agent Beneke didn't go on, she said, trying not to let her voice shake, "It isn't against regulations." Her handler regarded her grimly, his mouth set in a mew of disgust and distaste. "I was starting to believe you were less of a slut than other members of your species, Hera." This time, Hera did flinch. She didn't trust herself to say anything, so she just sat there, her hands fisted so tightly that her knuckles ached. Beneke waited for her to reply. When she didn't, he went on. "No. It isn't against regulations, but that's only because the Inquisition is outside the scope of the rest of the Imperial Service. The true Imperial Service, not the Emperor's." He hesitated over the words, then finished. "Attack dogs." He let the words hang in the air. Hera said in a whisper, "I'm not a slut." He ignored that. "Of course, I understand that some allowances must be made for your species, but surely, Hera, there were other alternatives. The lake house, well, I suppose you might have taste for humans. Agent Malpliff, he wanted to rape me." "You misunderstood, Hera. He wanted to rape me." Hera spat, feeling heat gather in her cheeks. "I might be a Twi'lek, but I'm not stupid." Agent Beneke raised his eyebrows in response to that, clearly suggesting that at the moment the matter was up for debate. He let Hera's words hang in the air between them for long enough that Hera felt her leg twitch before he said, "But you were already fucking another man." Hera set her jaw and didn't correct him, since it wasn't any of his business when she and Kanan had started sleeping together, especially not when she had relied on that illusion to keep Agent Malpliff away from her. All she wanted was to be out of this room and back in Kanan's, with a door that locked, and which not even Beneke would dare to come into. "It's not against regs," she repeated stubbornly, "and my grades haven't dropped." "For now." His voice was cool. "I'll be contacting the Inquisition, Hera." She forced herself not to react, though she guessed that Beneke saw her flinch anyway. She doubted that he was aware that Kanan was terrified of the rest of the Inquisition. And even if he was aware, she knew as well as he did that they wouldn't let Kanan keep a mistress. "We have an off-world assignment in the morning," she said, keeping her voice as calm as she could manage, despite the fact that she felt like bursting into tears. "May I go, please?" "Back to him?" It wasn't a question. Hera raised her gaze to him and couldn't keep the acid out of her voice. "That's where my things are." "You've disgraced yourself, Hera," Agent Beneke said coldly. "Yourself and me. I vouched for you to come to the Academy, you know, and you are on the verge of throwing it all away. You should be ashamed of yourself." "May I be excused, please?" Hera said again. "You may go," Agent Beneke said. "But after you get back from Garel tomorrow, I'll see this ended one way or another. Do you understand, Hera?" "Yes, sir," Hera said. His voice went gentle. It's for your own good, Hera. You don't understand the danger you've put yourself in with this Inquisitor. They're not like the rest of us. He's barely human anymore. Hera didn't say anything, and after a moment, Agent Beneke said, You're dismissed, Hera. Good luck on your operation tomorrow. Thank you, sir, Hera said, and fled the room, trying not to make it too obvious that running away was what she was doing. She made it all the way back to the officers' guest quarters without collapsing, ignoring the other officers and cadets she passed along the way. She opened the door to find Kanan inside, sitting cross-legged on the bed and frowning at a datapad. He smiled as she came in, lifting his gaze to her. That sweet smile that was just for her, which transformed his handsome, scarred face into something else entirely. The smile fell away when he saw her expression, and he said, What's wrong? She took a stumbling step into the room, enough for the door to slide shut behind her. She didn't remember falling into Kanan's arms, but she must have, because the next thing she knew, he was holding her as she wept into his shoulder, her whole body shaking with the force of her sobs. He held her close, rubbing her back with one hand, until Hera's tears finally trailed off. Into gasping hiccups. They were both sitting on the floor, Kanan with his back against the bed and Hera kneeling between his legs. He still had his arms around her, holding her protectively against him, but he loosened his grip as Hera sat up, wiping at her eyes. What happened? He asked her gently. Are you hurt? I'm not hurt, Hera said. She felt dull, wrung out, and scraped thin. Agent Beneke, my handler, he just got back, and he heard about us. She was surprised, in a way, that someone hadn't contacted him already. But presumably, the same fear of the Inquisition that had kept anyone here from actually confronting them about it had kept anyone from bringing it to Agent Beneke's attention. What happened? Kanan's voice was still impossibly gentle, and Hera couldn't imagine how Beneke could accuse him of being something other than kind. Hera shook her head and curled back up into his arms, hiding her face against his chest. I want to go, she thought suddenly. I don't want to be here anymore. We've got an op tomorrow, she said eventually, her voice raw from crying. We should sleep. Okay, Kanan said mildly. He ducked his head and kissed her very gently on the mouth, his lips brushing over hers. Hera put her arms around his neck to hold him against her, unable to bear the idea of never seeing him again. We could leave. We could just leave. I want to leave. But she didn't dare say the words out loud, not in the heart of the ISB itself. And the fact that she genuinely didn't know what Kanan would say to it kept her from even whispering it in her ear. He was terrified of the Inquisition, far more afraid of them than Hera was of the ISB. I love you, she said against his mouth. I love you too. He kissed her again. It'll be all right, I promise. Hera shook her head, but didn't say anything, just curled up in the warm circle of his arms. She couldn't imagine it ever being all right. Once the idea had come into her head, Hera couldn't seem to get it out. She turned it over and over in her mind the entire way to Gorel, sitting in the back of a commuter shuttle with Kanan next to her, his arm comfortably around her shoulders like they were an ordinary couple. She didn't dare voice it to Kanan, no matter how badly she needed to talk about it with him. There was no way that the shuttle wasn't bugged, either by the company that operated it or by the ISB. After what Agent Beneke had said, Hera didn't trust the ISB not to have them surveilled at every opportunity. The only place she knew they wouldn't be watched was in the club itself. She took Kanan's hand as they left the shuttle, making their way through the corridors of the spaceport before they finally emerged into the city streets. He bent his head to hers like any other young lovers, brushing a kiss over her lips that made Hera shiver, self-conscious in public despite the fact that no one here had any idea who they were. It wasn't quite full dark yet. The planet cast in purple twilight as they wandered idly through the tourist districts of the city, cutting a slow, meandering path toward the club. Garel had a thriving nightlife, both licit and otherwise, and after months of barely leaving the Imperial complex except to go on training missions, it was enchanting to see something so different. Species from all across the galaxy congregated on the world. Hera's green skin and Leku didn't warrant a second look from anyone, no more than Kanan's handsome human features did. She spotted enough other Twi'leks on the street to guess that there was probably an enclave somewhere in the city. No surprise there, though it hadn't been in their brief. Kanan stopped at a food stall to buy her a waffle dusted with Meluron sugar, and himself one with syrup. They stood in the shelter of a street lamp to eat them, Hera trying determinedly not to get powdered sugar all down her front, and mostly succeeding. Kanan licked his fingers clean of syrup, and then grinned comfortably at her. He looked happier in civilian clothes than Hera had ever seen him before, or at least outside of their bed, with the comfortable ease of someone who had never been near an Imperial uniform in his life. Hera leaned up and touched her lips to his. "Run away with me," she almost said. "Let's just go. Let's leave now." But she didn't dare do it. Not now. Not when any of the beings around them could have been watching them, listening in, evaluating them for the ISB and the Inquisition. Instead, she just said, "I love you." Kanan kissed her back. "It'll be all right," he told her.
"You don't know that."
Hera just kissed him again. The napkin she had been using for the waffle balled up in one fist as she put her arms around his neck. She still felt exhausted and wrung out after the confrontation with Agent Beneke, the hours she had spent crying in Kanan's arms, pricking weariness at the corners of her eyes. Kanan wrapped his arms around her. "Are you all right?" he asked softly. Hera shook her head. "Let's do this," she told him. Once they were in the club, she could be certain they weren't being bugged. Not by the Empire, anyway. They just had to get that far.
"Okay."
He kissed her again, then took the dirty napkins from her and stepped aside to toss them in a waste bin. Hera took his hand again as they made their way to the club, which was garishly lit up even from the outside. A quickly moving line formed at the door. Hera and Kanan joined the queue and were inside a few moments later, feeling a low, faint hum as they descended the staircase into the club's open lower level. She flicked a startled glance upward, spotting the jamming equipment in the ceiling, and felt her shoulders relax for the first time that day. Kanan noticed, but didn't say anything, just squeezed her hand. The sound of the club, the number of people packed into the space, was oppressive. It made Hera wince, her fingers tightening on Kanan's hand until she was certain it had to hurt.
"Our guy's not going to be out here on the floor,"
he said, bending his head to her ear and keeping his voice low.
"They must have more rooms."
Hera nodded to the curtained areas off the main space. She guessed that some of them were probably no more than nooks for couples to retire to, but others were likely to be more substantial rooms for rent, or corridors leading to them, since curtains weren't much for privacy. She and Kanan made their way to the edge of the room, wandering along the walls with the air of a couple looking for somewhere to make out. Several of the curtained nooks were clearly occupied by two or more beings. Another turned out to be a hallway leading to the kitchens, and another to the refreshers. They stumbled into a third hallway with the careless ease of drunk lovers, Kanan pressing Hera against the wall as he kissed her, one hand toying with the hem of her shirt. "Tease," Hera gasped, only half joking, and felt Kanan grin against her mouth. He drew back a moment later, glancing around the corridor before he tilted his head slightly, his eyes slanting half shut.
"I think we're in the right spot,"
he said. Hera didn't ask how he knew, just followed him as he moved cautiously down the corridor. She knew he had his lightsaber hidden somewhere on his person. She had a comlink, but no blaster. If they were caught, their only two options were talking fast or Kanan killing everyone. Kanan paused at a curve in the corridor after a few minutes of walking. Hera peered around the curve, taking in the sight of the six beings standing outside another curtained entryway. Two were Twi'leks, two Pikes, and two Feleens. Definitely the right place, Hera thought. That was the Pike Syndicate and the Black Sun, and the Twi'leks could have been from any number of cartels. She started to draw back, then froze as one of the Twi'leks shifted position so that she could see his face clearly. She grabbed Kanan's hand, dragging him back down the corridor until they were near the floor again. She could feel as much as hear the roar of the crowd and the throbbing beat of the music behind the thick curtain. The idea of going out there was unbearable. "What is it?" Kanan demanded. "What's wrong?" "Do you want to leave?" Hera blurted out, her voice shaky. "With me? Leave the Empire, I mean."
"Who was that?"
Kanan asked her.
"You saw someone you knew?"
"Will you?" Hera asked him desperately.
He hesitated briefly, then nodded.
"I think my father's in there," Hera whispered.
Kanan's eyes went wide. "What? Your father?"
"I recognized one of the Twi'leks outside," Hera said shakily. She was barely aware of anything except white noise, turning this over and over again in her mind. Her father was there. She could go home. Hera hadn't thought seriously about that in years. Hadn't thought she still wanted it. But now that the thought was lodged in her head, it was the only thing she could think of. "I need to get a message to him, but I can't just walk up to them."
"Get one of the waitresses to do it,"
Kanan said promptly. He ducked his head and kissed her.
"Come on, let's go find one." "This is a waste of time," Sham Syndulla thought wearily, but didn't let it show on his face.
He had the money to outbid the Pikes and the Black Sun, but there was no reason to believe that Free Ryloth might not need those credits more in the future than they needed the weapons for sale now. And even after all these years, part of him still chapped at the fact that he had to sit at the same table as criminal scum like the cartels. He doubted that they cared, but he couldn't shake the feeling that the Pike and Black Sun representatives looked equally smug that a scion of Ryloth had been brought down to their level. The Crimson Dawn dealer, a scarred human named Voss, had said as much in so smooth a way that the cartel members hadn't even realized Sham was being insulted. They all looked up as the curtain was swept back and Gobi stepped into the room.
"My apologies for the interruption," he said. "I have an urgent message for my master and mistress that cannot wait. A family matter."
"I would never stand in the way of family," Voss said smoothly. "Please, Syndulla, go. Will you be returning to us?"
"Perhaps another occasion."
Sham rose to his feet, offering Electo his hand. "I am sure we will have another opportunity to do business together."
"Certainly something can be arranged," Voss said. "My lady."
Electo inclined her head slightly in acknowledgement, but didn't speak. She and Sham left Voss and the cartel members to return to their bidding war, joining Gobi and Jack in the corridor. The Pike and Black Sun soldiers regarded their appearance with curiosity. One of the club waitresses was standing nearby with Jack, a beautiful Pantoran girl in a skimpy outfit. She started to speak, but Sham held up his hand until they had gone down the corridor somewhat, around the curve in the hallway, and out of sight of the cartel soldiers. "You're Syndulla?" she asked.
"I am," Sham said.
He blinked at her in surprise. His assumption when Gobi had said family had been that something had happened back at the fleet with Doria or Jeanne.
"You have a message for me."
There's a girl in the club who wants to see you, the Pantoran said. She said to tell you that she's from the house with seven fountains. Alecto grabbed for Sham's hand, her nails digging into his bare skin.
Where? She demanded. Where is she?
In one of the private rooms. The Pantoran looked inquisitively at them, without moving. Sham produced a 20-credit chip, without having to be prompted further. It disappeared into the girl's bustier, and she led them out of the corridor and into the crowded floor of the club, skirting the walls and passing several curtained entrances, before she came to a stop outside one of them. They're in here, she said.
Stay here,
Sham said to Gobi and Jack, and thrust the curtain aside to step into the chamber beyond, Alecto just behind him.
Hera couldn't sit. She just paced back and forth across the small room, while Kanan watched her from his position on the love seat, legs crossed tailor style in front of him.
It will be all right, he told her.
Hera didn't respond, just bit her knuckle and tried not to let her wild hope overwhelm her. If the man the ISB sent them after came in here instead of her father, or if the Empire, if this was a trick, a trap, another loyalty test, and one she failed. Kanan raised his head suddenly. When Hera jerked around to stare at him, he said,
There's someone.
The curtain was swept aside before he could finish, admitting a tall, orange-skinned, twilight man. Hera didn't think, just gasped, Daddy! And flung herself into his arms. An instant later, another pair of arms went around her, her mother holding on to her with desperate strength as she whispered, My baby, my baby. Hera started to cry. She hadn't thought that she would, but once she started, she couldn't seem to stop, sobbing against her father's shoulder as he held her tightly. Her mother kissed her frantically, and Hera managed to transfer her death grip from her father to her mother, clutching at her like the child she hadn't been in years. Her father put his arms around them both, his lips moving in something that Hera recognized as a prayer of thanksgiving. An instant later, he spotted Kanan, still seated on the love seat, and drew back sharply, his hand going to the empty holster on his hip. "He's with me," Hera said hastily, pulling herself out of her mother's tight grip. Daddy, Mama, Kanan, these are my parents, Sham and Alecto Syndulla. Kanan blinked once, recognizing at least one of the names, but unfolded himself as he stood up, keeping his hands in plain sight.
Sir,
he said.
Ma'am.
He hesitated, then added,
You knew one of my former teachers, General Syndulla. Master Windu always spoke very highly of you.
Sham frowned at him, clearly startled, then his eyes widened in realization.
You're...
Hera didn't see Kanan move, but all at once his lightsaber hilt was in his hand where Sham could see it. Her father's jaw dropped, even as Kanan made the lightsaber vanish again. Hera was staring too, because while she had guessed that particular secret from a few hints Kanan had dropped over the past months, she had never expected him to actually admit it. From his nervous expression, Kanan hadn't expected to ever do so either.
I see, Sham said after a moment, where he just stared wide-eyed at Kanan.
He glanced at Hera,
visibly realized what their relationship was, and swallowed back whatever automatic protest he had to that.
Her mother put her arm around Hera again, like she couldn't bear to not be touching her for even a few moments.
We're going back to the fleet, she said. You and your friend...
Hera bit her lip, but nodded. The Empire is watching the club, she said. I know there's a team inside, maybe more than one. Her father caught the slip, but didn't ask about it. Just frowned in thought, then turned to pull the curtain back.
Gobi, he said, go find Voz's second. Tell her that they shall be on the lookout for Imperial visitors, then meet us outside. I assume Voz has some kind of plan for that contingency.
Yes, Syndulla.
Hera heard footsteps moving hastily away. Sham said,
should go out the back, the way we came in. Kanan flicked a glance at Hera. She nodded slightly in response. She hadn't meant to do this when she came in here, but it was happening now. And Hera... there were a lot of things Hera had wanted for years and had given up hope of ever getting again. Her family was one of them.
They might be watching the back, Kanan offered slowly.
It was a training mission, not a full assault, meant to be observation only and with relatively little risk for several pairs of cadets. Hera and Kanan hadn't been briefed on how many other pairs were assigned to this operation, but she suspected that, given the variety of Crimson Dawn, she and Kanan weren't the only ones in here. She had been too overwhelmed on the club floor to look for any of the others.
I don't think so, Hera said, equally hesitant. It was possible, but because this was only a training mission, meant to test their cadets in the field without supervision, the ISB wasn't likely to waste agents on something like that. And none of the cadets she knew were likely to waste time camping out in the back of the club hoping something interesting happened there, rather than coming inside and seeking it out on their own.
Can you sense them? Her father asked Kanan.
He looked startled to be asked, but shook his head.
Too many people in here.
Then we'll go now, Sham said firmly. He pushed the curtain aside and stepped out, revealing a vaguely familiar Twi'lek woman whose name Hera couldn't remember off the top of her head. The woman's eyes widened as she recognized Hera.
We're going, Sham told her.
Hera, you remember Jack.
Hera absolutely did not remember Jack. But she had to be either a Syndulla clanswoman or from her father's old Clone Wars resistance group.
Her mother put an arm around her, like she couldn't bear not to be touching Hera even for a few moments. She held Hera close against her as they made their way across the club floor, which made walking a little difficult in the crowded space, but Hera wasn't about to try to make her mother release her. She looked back several times to make certain that Kanan was following, which he was. Jack was trailing him, with an expression on her face that made Hera think the older woman wasn't certain about Kanan's ability to either stay with the group or take care of himself. Hera should have been trying to spot the other ISB cadets that she was certain were here, but there were too many people in the club, and she didn't want to let go of her mother, so she let it be. There was nothing she could do about it now, anyway. The realization was something of a relief. What she did see were several of the club's black-helmeted guards standing unobtrusively at the edges of the room, especially as they slipped out into a hallway she and Kanan had passed before. One of them watched them leave, but didn't make any attempt to stop them. Still, Hera found herself holding her breath until they finally left the club and stepped abruptly into the cool dark of a back alley. Gobi was waiting there for them, along with another one of the guards. This one had the visor of his helmet retracted, revealing monkey-like features. Both were regarding each other grimly, but looked up as Sham emerged. The guard waited for them all to emerge from the club, gave Kanan, as the one human in the group, a dubious look, and said, "The boss says your assistance is appreciated, and he hopes to do business again with you sometime." "Likewise," Sham said, his voice carefully neutral. He accepted the blaster the guard handed him and holstered it, then took two more blasters to pass back to Alecto and Jack.
"So your boss will be in touch."
The guard nodded. His visor slid back into place again, concealing his face. When he spoke again, his voice came out with a slight metallic quality.
"The landing bay has been notified that you're on your way."
"Thank you." Sham glanced at Hera as though to make sure she hadn't gone anywhere in the last few minutes, then led the way down the alley. The private landing bay was only a street away from the club, with a few more of the helmeted guards tucked discreetly just inside the doors, which Sham opened with a keycard. There weren't individual bays inside, just docking slots. Hera spotted what were probably the Pike and Black Sun ships in two of them, along with a sleek shuttle that she suspected probably belonged to Dryden Voss himself. The Syndulla's gamble
was docked in another slot. Hera couldn't help her sharp inhalation. She had grown up with the gamble, had expected to pilot it someday. It was a shock to see here and now, as if nothing had changed in the last time she had seen it 4 years ago.
"We're almost there, baby," her mother murmured to her. "We'll be home soon."
There were a couple of Twi'leks standing at the foot of the ramp, holding blaster rifles and eyeing the Pike and Black Sun guards with suspicion. They were being eyed back in turn. One of them, Hera realized, was her Aunt Clotho. She didn't recognize the other. Kanan touched her elbow suddenly, and Hera jumped. Her mother shot a wary glance at him, then at the expression on his face, released Hera and stepped a little ways away. "Don't," Hera told him. "Don't you dare. You already said you would. My master, I know you don't want to go back to him. I know you're afraid of him." Kanan glanced aside, and even in the cool lights of the hangar bay, Hera could see the faint scars on his face and neck at the edge of his hairline. She took his hands in hers and said, "Don't leave me alone, please. You're with your family." "I want you too," Hera said. "I love you." He smiled a little. "I'm not afraid of him for me," he said. "He'll knock me around. He's done that before. But if I leave, he'll come after me. And he'll kill everyone between us to do it. That puts you and your family at risk."
"I think my family's been at risk for a while now," Hera pointed out. "And I don't want you to get hurt either."
She leaned up and kissed him. "Also, since we're in a crime lord's secret hangar bay, I don't think they actually can let you leave without shooting you first."
Kanan smiled a little, but kissed her back. "I can deal with a couple of enforcers," he pointed out. "But my master..."
He stopped again, agony on his face.
"Please.
Please," Hera said again.
After a terrifyingly long moment, he nodded.
Hera kissed him again and then put her arms around him, holding him against her as he buried his face in her neck. She was fighting back her surge of adrenaline with effort, trying not to let herself be angry at him. He was frightened. It wasn't fair to expect him to be anything otherwise, not after what his master had done to him.
"Hera,"
her father said quietly. She released Kanan so that she could look at him. He was standing a little ways away, regarding them both thoughtfully, and Hera realized that she had no idea how much of the conversation he had overheard.
But all he said was, "We need to leave."
Hera took a breath. "All right," she said. She reached out for Kanan's hand, resisted the urge to look behind her. There was nothing to see except the Crimson Dawn enforcers anyway, and followed her parents toward the Syndulla's gamble. The end. Reader's notes. I'm currently recording this podfic on the couch in Bedlam's Bard's house with Bessie Boo and Bedlam in the background. Here are some outtakes because, well, I think they're hilarious. And read by Rena Jenkins. The story is and read by Rena Jenkins. I can say my own name.
But she didn't dare say the words out loud. Not in the heart of the ISB, it's... Oh, fuck.
Kanan stopped at a food stall to buy her a waffle dusted with Meiluron sugar, and himself one with syrup.
Nah. Come on.
I can do this. Quarter of the way done. They're undercover on a date. It's super cute. Hera didn't ask how he knew. Just followed him as he moved cautiously down the corridor.
Nah. This is a waste of time.
Nope, that's too fucking Russian, Shamsandula.
This is an accent test sentence. This is an accent test sentence.
Fuck everything.
My apologies for the interruption. I am sure we will have another opportunity to do business together. I am sure we will have another opportunity to do business together.
together.
The Pike and Black Sun soldiers regarded their appearance. Fuck. So close. The Pike and Black Sun soldiers regarded their appearance with curiosity. I can say fucking words. The Pike and Black Sun members, soldiers.
It's reunion time!
It's gonna be painful, isn't it? Because everything hurts. Everything hurts. Also, it's like three sentences and I still can't do French. Ah, Frylothian sounded like Long Island. It would be so much better. Fuck you, George Lucas.
He hesitated, then added,
"You knew one of my former teachers, General Syndulla. Master Windu always spoke very highly of you."
Oh my god, he takes a moment out of all of this to have his little geek out moment. He does that in both canons. I love it.
Hera heard footsteps moving hastily away. Oh, hey, it's Kira. I just got that. Okay, Kira says, cameo from Kira. Makes me happy.
Tell your boss he'll be in touch.
Nope, that's too fucking Russian again.
Tell your boss he'll be in touch.
Fuck it, whatever it is.
We're almost there, baby, her mother murmured to her. We'll be home soon.
Aw, oh, fuck, Electra, did you just jinx it?
Okay.
So yeah, thank you to Bethel's part for letting me record this, and thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it, and have a nice day.